Good morning, I'm Tippi Cruz. It's Friday, September 20th. How the Federal Reserve's interest rate cuts could impact buying a home. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. Yes to housing and no to delays. That's part of the message from Governor Newsom yesterday as he signed a package of 32 bills aimed at addressing homelessness and expanding affordable housing.
There is no doubt the state of mind for most Californians that I think connects more Californians is a recognition that the original sin in this state is affordability and impacts more people in more ways on more days, and that's the issue of cost of housing.
The new laws create mandates to house vulnerable community members and increase the accountability of governments on the local level. Officials won't say why a senior enlisted officer at the Marine Corps Recruit Depot was arrested and sent to the brig last week, but a court filing suggests domestic violence. A domestic violence restraining order against Sergeant Major Gerardo Trevino was filed in San Diego court earlier this week. In it, his wife alleges months of physical and emotional abuse. The Naval Criminal Investigative Service and the Marines won't confirm his arrest was related to the allegations. All the Marines will say is that Trevino was removed from his job due to a loss of trust and confidence. San Diego attorney Gary Barthel specializes in military cases. He says he has an issue with that explanation.
You know, when a command comes out and says those sorts of statements, it really erodes the trust and confidence the public has in the military because it seems like they're hiding the ball.
Trevino was the battalion sergeant major for the 3rd Recruit Training Battalion. Today's weather will be similar to what we've been feeling all week, but it won't last long. Although the official start of fall is Sunday, this weekend's weather will feel more like summer. But before that, forecasters say there's still a chance of rain this morning. Temps in the inland and coastal areas today will be in the low 70s. In the mountains, it'll be in the high 50s, and in the deserts, it's expected to be in the high 80s. Starting tomorrow, temps are expected to rise a few degrees each day, continuing into the new work week. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalich, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Stock markets shot up yesterday in response to the Federal Reserve's interest rate cuts. Lower interest rates could make borrowing easier for lots of people, but reporter Thomas Fudge says it may not make it easier to afford a home mortgage in San Diego.
A half a percentage point cut in interest rates may not sound like a lot, but it caused the S&P 500 to go up 1.7% on Thursday. The Fed's influence on home mortgage rates is indirect, but analysts believe it will reduce homeowner interest payments significantly. Of course, lower interest rates don't necessarily translate to lower home prices. Stephanie Lloyd is a real estate broker in San Diego.
If we look back at 2021, when the rates were at historic lows, that created an absolute frenzy in the market, which then, you know, boosted the values. And so people were paying significantly higher than list price.
But the rate cuts, if they continue into next year, could save homeowners thousands of dollars if they refinance the home that they bought in the past 2 years. The next meeting of the Federal Reserve Board will be in December. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
Data shows Black mothers and infants face higher rates of childbirth-related complications or deaths than any other race or ethnicity in the U.S. North County reporter Tanya Thorne says San Diego County is expanding valuable resources to Black mothers and babies to help bring those rates down.
Childbirth can be a happy time for a mom, but for Black mothers, it can be different.
Unfortunately, Black women have higher rates of maternal morbidity and mortality. African-American babies are more likely to die before their first birthday than Hispanic women, Asian women, and Caucasian women.
Iris Payne is the director of the San Diego County Black Infant Health Program, which recently expanded into North County.
We have a program because there's a need. And I think as a society, we want to recognize the needs of all of our citizens. If we all thrive individually, then we all thrive as a community.
The program offers new and expecting Black mothers supportive services to help advocate for themselves in their doctor's office, as well as resources. The office, located in Oceanside at 3156 Vista Way, is having a grand opening on Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. Family portraits, activities, and food will be provided, and anyone is welcome to join. Tanya Thorne, KPBS News.
Safe parking programs have become a countywide method to lift people out of homelessness. Many participants are homeless for the first time. Supporters say the programs catch people before they've lost everything. Reporter Katie Anastas has the story of a family who lived in a safe parking lot for more than a year.
Keaton Carrier and her family became homeless after they moved back home to San Diego in spring 2021.
We'd been homeless for 3 years, 4 months, and 13 days.
Carrier says a state welfare program that helps families with children paid for 60 nights at hotels. After that, odd jobs helped her and her partner pay for hotel stays. Then, one day, they saw a news story on TV about Jewish Family Services' safe parking program. They'd spend the next year and 3 months living in a city-provided trailer at one of the program sites. Carrier has two sons. They're 7 and 8 years old.
They had two birthdays here. June and July is their birthdays. And I would decorate, it's called the birthday fairy. We've been doing it ever since we were homeless. We take streamers and we decorate, like they were hanging from the ceiling. We had things on the door, just where they woke up to it.
Now, the family hopes to celebrate birthdays in their new apartment in Ramona. Carrier's partner has a new construction job there, and rent is a little over $1,800 a month for a two-bedroom. Jewish Family Service paid their deposit. They're also buying them furniture, silverware, and other things they need for their new home.
What makes us feel like, wow, it's almost like encouragement to continue to stay out.
Out of homelessness. Jewish Family Service operates 4 safe parking sites in the city of San Diego with more than 230 parking spaces. The city is spending more than $4.5 million on the program this year. Mayor Todd Gloria says they fill a critical gap in the city's shelter system. Jesse Mendez directs the safe parking program. He says it's rare for them to have an empty spot.
We do have a high population of older adults that are on fixed income and retired or on like disability of some sort. But the vast majority of our clients work every day.
Case managers work at each safe parking site to connect people to housing and other services. They also try to reunite people with family members who can take them in.
The benefit of safe parking is you get to intervene at a level where people haven't really lost all their hope. They haven't lost all their possessions. A lot of our clients are first-time homeless.
UC San Diego researchers studying the program in 2022 found that many clients wanted more flexible access to the lots. 2 sites are now open 24 hours, the other 4 just in the evenings and early mornings. Clients also wanted more access to meals and showers, more case management, and help overcoming racial bias when seeking housing and employment. Since 2018, the program has served more than 5,000 individuals and 3,000 households at 6 sites in San Diego County. Jewish Family Service says more than a third of them have moved into more secure housing, including permanent housing, hotel rooms, and shelters.
If a client misses one night at safe parking, I encourage myself to call them the next day to find out what happened. 9 times out of 10, the client was just, oh, I just found a friend or whatever. But you know what the most response that we would get when you call someone the next day? I didn't think anyone cared where I was at. And guess what? They come back because we care.
People at safe parking and safe sleeping sites are considered unsheltered in the annual point-in-time count. Gloria has asked the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to reclassify them as part of the sheltered homeless population. He says the unsheltered homeless count would have dropped by nearly 10% this year instead of increasing. And he says it would reflect the role the sites play in connecting people to services. Mendez says part of that role is giving people hope.
You know, it's never over. You know, it's only over when we tap out.
That's Carrier's message to other homeless parents, too.
This is just a season. Like, I'm gonna cry, but you haven't failed those children. It's just keep going, because once you give up, that's when you fail them.
Earlier this summer, the California Coastal Commission approved a plan to turn a site in Point Loma into a safe parking lot. It's expected to open early next year and nearly double the number of safe parking spots in the city. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
PSA Flight 182 crashed nearly 46 years ago into a North Park neighborhood, and now there is finally a memorial to those lost. Yesterday, city crews placed a bronze plaque at the intersection of Dwight and Nile Streets, where the plane crashed. The area is represented by council member Stephen Whitburn. Last year, he promised a memorial would be placed within a year. His deputy chief of staff, Ryan Darcy, explained why it's taken so long.
The community went through different kinds of situations, trying to find a location. You know, there was kind of, you know, red tape about, you know, certain areas. Some community members wanted it in an area, others didn't.
The official unveiling of the plaque will happen next Wednesday on the 46th anniversary of the crash. All 135 people aboard were killed, along with 7 people on the ground. Well, it's officially fall on Sunday, and with that comes pumpkin spice lattes, fall decor, and even cozy weather. There's a lot going on this season, so our KPBS arts reporter Julia Dixon Evans created a fall arts guide to help you find fall-related happenings all in one place. She's here now to talk more about it. Julia, welcome to the San Diego News Now podcast.
Hey, Debbie. Thanks for having me.
So what made you want to create a fall arts guide?
So this was a collaboration between a bunch of different parts of the newsroom, our arts team, as well as our web team and the Midday Edition team. And, you know, we've been talking about the idea of a seasonal arts guide for a while. And we started with spring this year. We had a spring arts guide. And every weekend arts preview that I do, it kind of feels like a mini at a glance look at all of the stuff that's out there. Across all art disciplines like music, visual art, dance, theater, books, whatever. But that's so immediate. Like, it's so things are happening tomorrow or the next day. And I thought this would be a great way to give people more kind of lead time, especially when there is so much going on in the fall. Fall is particularly big for arts and culture. It's film festival season. Even though in San Diego we do have film festivals year-round, there's just like a huge concentration of them happening this fall. And it's also really big in visual art and music. Visual art this year in particular is huge because we have this big initiative from the Getty called PST Art that's all over Southern California, and so much of that is happening in San Diego. But mostly, I think I wanted us to just be really intentional about telling the stories of people who are sharing and making art right now in our region. So that's a really big part of what is in the Fall Arts Guide.
And can you talk about some of those stories in the guide?
Yeah, so one example, one of the profiles, is Teksu Kim, who is a local composer. His piece, Welcome Home, with 2 exclamation points, is going to be the inaugural piece, the very first piece of music played at the Jacobs Music Center, which is the San Diego Symphony's newly renovated indoor concert hall. They're going to play that at opening night when the symphony finally moves back into their home. Teksu Kim teaches composition at San Diego State University, and he is a brilliant composer. Like, his work is really fun. In this piece, Welcome Home, he's made like this kind of alchemy out of themes and ideas of home, drawing from his native South Korea, but also Venezuela, a reference to Rafael Payarre, the music director of the San Diego Symphony, and also Kumeyaay folk music. And while we can't listen to that actual piece of music yet, because they're keeping it a secret until they play it next weekend, we can listen to another one of his pieces that kind of embodies that playful and really inventive composition. This is called Bounce. It was written in, I think, 2014 or 2013, and he uses musical instruments to kind of emulate the sound of bouncing basketballs. It's really fun. And then another thing for families, I wanted to include the San Diego Natural History Museum's upcoming birthday block parties for their 150th anniversary. They're having a bunch of celebrations and also opening a new paleo center. So I talked to a paleontologist about fossil preparation and how he became a paleontologist, and also what that field might look like in another 150 years. For another story, I talked to a curator about disability themes in visual art and this big exhibition that's going to open up at the Museum of Contemporary Art, San Diego. It's called For Dear Life. I talked to her about what that exhibition means to her personally. There's also dance. There's a bunch of dance going on. And we talked to a choreographer and a dancer in Tijuana about how their company is partnering with Trolley Dances, which is coming up later this month. There's books. There's a ton of book events happening this fall, a ton of theater. There's so much going on our stages, including opera. And we even have a kind of a seasonal treat is Halloween-themed events. That's courtesy of KPBS's resident Halloween expert, Beth Accomando. And Beth has also rounded up that film festival season and kind of distilled it down to some of her picks there. And we broke music up into two categories this time. We have classical and jazz, and then also popular music. So you can find something to go to, whatever your musical tastes happen to be.
And as you mentioned, the guide is broken up into categories. Can you tell me about those and how we can navigate through the guide?
Right. So first, you'll go to kpbs.org/fallartsguide, and then you'll see it all laid out for you. And you can navigate based on what type of art you're looking for. If you're only interested in theater, you can click on the theater profile. You can click on the roundup of theater events. But you can also look through it by profile. So you can find these stories about all of these amazing artistic and creative humans in the Spotlight on Local Artists section. And then there's also a button for the roundup. So we can go straight to all of these little five event listings. Those are by each category. And you can also browse the calendar listings right there if you want to sort of look at it all by date and see what's coming up sooner. Or if you want to search by region, we have a very handy map so you can find things that are happening near you. And then, of course, you can also sign up for the weekly arts newsletter, which I fill with all of the things that we're working on that week at KPBS, all of the stories, and then also upcoming events, a weekend preview, as well as kind of this news and notes section, and usually some artist opportunities too. So it's jam-packed, and it can keep you in the know all year long, not just in the fall.
A lot happening this fall season. I've been speaking with KPBS arts reporter Julia Dixon Evans. Julia, thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you, Debbie. Happy fall.
That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is produced by Emmeline Muhebi and was edited by Joe Guerin. We'd also like to thank KPBS student assistant Alina Ajaz for helping the podcast team this week. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again Monday to start the week together with the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the Del Mar Wine and Food Festival, happening October 2nd to 7th. Founded in partnership with Alex Morgan, Drew Brees, and Rob Machado, the festival gathers chefs from San Diego and national TV, plus athletes and culture icons. Tickets at delmar.wine.